Welcome to All the Things with Kristen Schindler. We all have things. Doesn't matter if we're married or single, if we have no children, or if we have 10. Things in life can be overwhelming, and sometimes we just don't know how to navigate them. So each week, you're going to hear stories of hope, of inspiration, and of people navigating the same things that you and I deal with day in and day out. Their stories may sound different than ours, or they may sound just like us. Either way, each week this podcast is going to pour into your heart with hope and encouragement. We are so glad that you are here. Welcome back, friends. We're so excited for you to be here for the next episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. Today, I'm so excited for my friend Veronica Robeson to be joining us. Veronica and I met a number of months ago during the onset of COVID and challenge. And Veronica is a mom of 8, and she is really going to share her heart with us today about all the things that come with, you know, first of all, having a large family, and second of all, just dealing with having different children in different stages and where she is in her parenting journey. So thank you, Veronica, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I'm so glad that we met. That's awesome.
Yes, I am too.
Yeah.
It was just so wonderful how we connected. And then you were actually part of one of my online book studies that, you know, all the way, you were my farthest guest all the way from Washington State when you hopped on. So we've had a chance to really get to know each other over the last 6 months. So can you tell our listeners, you know, where are you currently? We know that you're a mom of 8, but can you kind of share with us where you are in that parenting journey of your children?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question because I can't just say, hey, I'm a mom of a preschooler, or I'm, you know. So the interesting thing is with 8 children, my oldest is 21 and he's getting ready to be married this year. Next summer. My second oldest, my daughter is in college. My third is in high school. He's a junior this year. My next is a girl. So it goes boy, girl, boy, girl, girl, boy, girl, boy. So that's real fun.
Wow.
She is a freshman this year. And then my next is a girl, and she is about 7th grade. Her younger brother is 4th grade. And then I have a 2nd grader and then a 5-year-old at home who wasn't quite old enough to start kindergarten because his birthday is in middle of September. So I have like every stage imaginable at this point of my life that I'm in that I can think of. So preschooler all the way up.
Yeah, you are living hashtag all the things.
Exactly.
I mean, that's like.
Exactly. It's crazy.
Wow.
It's a wild ride.
And you. It is a wild ride. And you used to have, did you have all of them home? Did you homeschool all of them in the earlier stages?
Yeah.
What was that
I
like?
I started with my first two. They first attended like a little private in-home, very tiny personalized school, my oldest two. And then I decided to bring them home. So that was about kindergarten, 2nd grade. With me. So that's what started way back in earlier on. And then from then I continued to homeschool. My oldest two went to a school for like 4th grade, 2nd grade, and then I brought them back home. So I've had a couple of the younger ones go back into school and pulled them out of school halfway through the year, you know, and I was like, "Oh, this isn't working good." For example, my third child, he went into 1st grade. He was really struggling. He really could have used a one-on-one in his class. And I'm like, this just is not working, and pulled him out. And again, in 4th grade, pulled him out because of the environment. And so I've just really tried to be sensitive to where we're at. We have experienced public school. My 2nd grader, she's in public school right now. And that's because she's in special ed. And so they have a specialized program for her to help her. I was homeschooling last year. My son wanted to try out high school, so he went freshman year, and then he really wanted to go. And then on his own, he decided, 10th grade, I want to homeschool. So he homeschooled 10th grade. And this year, so we've done a mix, mostly homeschool over the years and some online school for the older ones. And this year, my four older ones that are home, I have six left at home. So the four oldest are in a little private church academy. It's at the church that we're attending. And so it's very small, very individualized. So that's where they are right now. I've got my five-year-old at home, and my seven-year-old got to start school full-time last week. So it's just constantly changing. And yeah, it's crazy.
That's, you know, I think it's so interesting because, you know, I never was homeschooled, and I grew up in the military. So we just had, you know, traditional schooling methods, and we would move every couple of years, and, you know, we would just register in the next school. So there was a lot of movement in terms of back and forth, back and forth. But when, you know, before I became a parent, I was a teacher in our local district for many, many years. And I just assumed that my children were going to start in that district. And I mean, I even knew the schools they were going to go to, where we lived and what school they would go to. And then eventually my children would drive to school with me because I was a middle school teacher, and I never saw myself as doing anything else. I just thought that's just what it's going to be. And it's interesting because when we decided to make the change to do something different, it seemed like such a big shock just because, we left the public school to go to a private school, to, you know, our first step. But then the second step, when we came home to homeschool, you know, because we had been so rooted in just traditional schooling methodology and just the framework of what that looked like, that looked very different for our family. Like today, my husband was helping with the German lessons, you know, because my two youngest one take German. But it's so interesting because COVID has made everybody's schooling look different. And it makes me wonder, like, what it's going to look like going forward. Because I have a friend, her daughter's in high school, and she said the other day, because we have a hybrid schedule where our high schoolers go like 2 days a week. And then another group goes 2 days a week, and then everybody's home on Fridays. And she told her mom, like, I'm not going to go back to school full time. Like, I want to continue it this way. So for her, it works best because she, you know, has some anxiety. So it's just going to be interesting. You know, I think the people who always thought everything was always going to be the way it was, it'll be interesting to see how that, you know, changes.
Right. The people that thought they could never homeschool are getting a taste of it, and then they can decide now they've gotten a chance to kind of try it out. Sort of.
Right. Well, and what's so nice too is that there's so many platforms that even as a homeschool mom for the last 3 years, because I was just, you know, dipping my toes in it 3 years ago and just kind of going with friends who had, you know, gone that route and kind of following similar paths that they had already tread, just because you're like, okay, well, they've done it this way. I'm going to try it this way and see if we like it. But, you know, all of the things that have become available since COVID with, you know, online platforms and different things that are now spoken about more,
so many,
you know, just readily.
So many options out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, just share with us a little bit, because I know that you have been kind of, you know, you're trying to create a supporting online community for moms who find themselves in similar situations that you have found yourself in, like, since COVID. So could you kind of share with us, like, how did that affect you personally in terms of where you were then with the schooling and what was going on with your children, and what you think moving forward you want to do to help parents that felt in a similar situation?
Well, I haven't exactly started a community. I've been contemplating it, and I finally looked up and joined a community of people raising other, you know, special needs, so to find encouragement in that. So the struggle maybe I'll share about is having my four older kids go off to school in a time, but in a time a lot of the kids are actually still home. Here even middle schoolers haven't even started back yet. They're still working on the lower grades right now, getting back into even a hybrid model in our town. So while other kids are home, my kids were actually going to school every day, and I was left home with my seven-year-old and my five-year-old. Now, going from summer and going from last year of homeschooling and being used to having that support network around me, you know, somebody could at all times help watch a younger one. I was then thrown back into, you know, like the toddler days, you know, the days where it's just you at home, you know, you just have the couple little ones to feed and watch every moment of the day. The struggle that came with me is my 7-year-old is developmentally delayed is what the doctor says. So she's not labeled with anything else. She's in special ed. She's an escape artist. She likes to leave the house. And doesn't have any fear of taking off. So that was has been a big struggle in that time. So anyways, some of my days actually consisted of, she likes to circle the house, like looking, you know, she likes to move and be on the move. And sometimes she would just continually go to the back door, continually keep going to the door. And I'd have to keep taking her from the door, you know, cause she was like wanting to get out. Not like, hey, mom, let's go outside and play, but she was just trying to sneak out. And
And that has been problematic, yes, because you've had, yes, some scary, scary things.
Yeah. Something that could be as simple as, you know, most 7-year-olds can go outside and play on their own, without concern. My 5-year-old for the most part can go outside on his own, you know, stay in the yard. He understands that and he doesn't just take off, whereas she will just disappear. And even if I am outside with her, she still has to be watched like a hawk. I mean, she will collide, mm-hmm, she'll hop over the fence. If my attention is not on her, for example, one time I had her in the backyard with me and I was bent over like doing some weeding or something. And for just a short amount of time, you know, less than a minute, like my attention was on something else with my back turned to her. Then I stand up, look around, and she's gone, you know? And then it's like the panic starts, like, is she in the, we have another yard next to it, but it was like, did she take off? Did she take into the house? You know, where do I start looking first? If I'm alone, and I go out into the other yard, it's, did she go out the gate? Did she run down the street? Is she in the, and did she just take herself into the house? And so, you know, the first thing I might do is run out to the sidewalk, look around. Did she run down the street? Do I see her somewhere? Then check the house. And then if she's not in the house, you know, what panic? And so something as simple as taking my eyes off my 7-year-old for a few seconds can be mayhem, you know? So yes, we've definitely had some issues, and she will climb out windows. it's constantly. So when I had her home, just the two of them, we were mostly inside. I would take them outside once in a while. I have to watch her very carefully. But even indoors, I have to lock all the, I like lock everything I can lock. And, you know, the bedroom doors are locked, sometimes the bathroom, just to help keep a rein in on her. And like I said, some days she just really wanted to keep going to that door. And so it was just like, you know, chasing her down, pulling it. And the back door is by our washing machine. So she'll climb up the washer, unhook the latch, you know, and we have beepers, we have alarms on doors, things like that. But man, if I'm not, you know, if I'm just trying to sit and fold some laundry, you know, and I let her right, do the circle, if I don't go after her instantly, there's a chance she's going to be going out that door. So sometimes it's like, you know, I'm just constantly like listening. Is she stopping in there? Do I hear the latch going, you know, anything? And then I have to bolt after her or things like that. So it can just be very emotionally draining to just, yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things, Veronica, that I'm so grateful that you're being so candid and sharing with is because, you know, so often I feel that we get so involved in our own worlds that we don't, you know, like you and I were talking about, you ran to the store to get something. And, you know, let's just say you're at, you know, the store and I see you at Target and, you know, you just are just so exhausted, you know, that, you know, I have no idea what your day-to-day is like. I mean, going, even just a simple thing is going to the bathroom.
Gotta be careful.
I mean, just being able to go to the bathroom or, you know, whatever it is, having to make a phone call because, you know, you need a plumber or whatever, like feeling like at all times you're on heightened alert. I think that that's, I really want my listeners to hear your story, because I know that there are people listening today who have people in their lives who are living a similar journey as yours, and they don't necessarily speak as candidly. So the other people don't understand what those daily challenges are like, or just even running into a mom in the grocery store who just needs someone to say, I see you. Like, is there anything I can do to help you?
I try
you?
To see when I see those moms struggling, especially it looks like they're struggling with a difficult child. It's like, you know, I feel you. Like, it's difficult, isn't it? Just recognizing them and smiling at them and letting them know that you're not judging them. But like you're saying, I think if people haven't lived through it and they don't know somebody and they haven't heard like a story like mine, you may not get it. So it's like, just don't judge people. You know, it really comes down to like not judging and not knowing what's going on in someone's life. Every one of us has a story and challenges and struggles and anxiety or whatever it is that, you know, for some people, just getting to the store might be their win for the day and getting out of the house. So we just never know what people are going through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I know that, you know, can you kind of share with us about your need to reach out? Like, how have you done that? Like, how, I know that you had, you know, recently a situation that kind of prompted you to, you know, you're very open on social media sharing about your journey, but, could you talk a little bit about the need for that extra support and what you found to be helpful or.
Yeah. With the kids going back to school. And I, like I said, I was in that kind of thrown back into that different time of just being home with little ones, which I wasn't used to. And, you know, I'm in my 40s now. I'm not in my 20s, you know, I'm not as young and I don't feel as young as I did back then either, as far as having all the energy to deal with all that. But, and I've had other difficult kids. My daughter is not the first difficult child that I've dealt with. So I'll say that I've had some years of experience of just, and she's 7 now too. So I've had some years of, dealing with her and learning a lot from that. But being thrown back into being the only person there and not having that support person, because really, in reality, somebody, a child like that needs somebody one-on-one. You know, I couldn't, I'm going to try not to forget your question, but I couldn't take them outside for a walk. I couldn't take them to the park. Most moms can take their young kids like, oh, let's go walk to the park. Let's go walk around the block. Let's go to the grocery store. Let's go do these fun things. And I was really feeling kind of like a prisoner in my own home. And because I just couldn't, because I didn't know when, well, we didn't talk about, besides the fact that she would run off, she escape. She's also what I would call a runner. So she runs ahead of me. Well, I'm wanting to go on a walk with her and it's turning into a jog, which was not exactly what I wanted to do. So you just never know what's going to happen. And if I took them, I did have a win with them not all that long ago. I did get around the park with them, around the block, I meant, with them, where she rode the bike and she rode it nice and slow right beside me. And there was another day we walked around. She said, I'm taking you on a walk. And she walked. We walked all the way around the block. And she held my hand the whole time. She didn't try to run off. And these were like major wins, like, oh my gosh. And one day I did finally get to the park with the two of them. We made it there. We had a little bumps in the road on the way there and on the way back. But we did get to the park and she did run. I had to go for a jog because she likes to run across this field. And so in order to go out with her, you have to be in good enough shape to go for a nice long jog, kind of exaggerating, but across this big field.
Right.
But she wasn't trying to run off. She just wanted to run across this field. And so I had to do it too. So it can just be a super big challenge. And we barely got to do that. We finally got out a few times and that's it. So those were wins. So yes, I did start sharing because of the loneliness, the frustration, the mental exhaustion, you know, and just sharing on, I was sharing on Facebook, like, oh, look what, you know, this situation, oh, look what happened. And not everybody takes that very well. I think, as you know, some people, there is lots of support and it helps, you know, you're feeling lonely. You want someone to say, oh, wow, you know, not that I want to say that I was looking for validation, but just being lonely, just reaching out, hey, this is really what's going on in my life, you know? So really all I felt like any other day, I just kind of felt like this is what's happening. This is what's going on at my house. Like, oh, you know, just the daily struggles. And for some people, very understanding, and some people it's just too much. So there's the ones out there that are judging. They're seeing a glimpse into what's going on. And, you know, that's just a small slice of my entire life. I have a whole lot of other things going on too, right? Like I said, I've got all these other kids, different grades, all sorts of things going on. But when I was alone with them, it's like, oh, look, this is happening. Oh, look, this happened. And so it could be hard too. And I could understand why I kind of felt like I started pulling back on my sharing. Even though I knew some people appreciate it, there was kind of that fear of the judgment and mm-hmm. the people that will maybe not even say it to my face, but call the state. So I'll be open. I did recently, I did get a call. Somebody called in and they were concerned about, you know, your daughter not being watched well enough and this, that, and the other. And so I had to have a visit, which I wasn't the first time, honestly. And I wasn't concerned about it. And it was just like, oh, here's some cheap beeper alarms for your doors. Or, you know, I mean, it was really nothing. So I don't know. It's just, there's always going to be people out there judging what they don't know. And that's really sad. Instead of mm-hmm. reaching out, what can you do? Reach out to that person and say, hey, I see your struggle, and how can I pray for you? Or how can I help you? Or do you need to talk? Or, you know, we really should be looking at how can we help people, not just looking and judging what you don't know. So somebody is seeing that little bit. I had a neighbor who made a really horrible comment to me one day after my daughter had gotten out of the house, and she rode the bike down. She got on a bike and rode it down the street. And, you know, we noticed right away, but she still slipped out because my kids came home from school. Now imagine, here I am. I've got four kids coming home from school all at once. I've been watching my daughter all day long, tirelessly, to keep her safe. You know, I've been devoted to them all day long, keeping her safe. And then I've got two kids in my face. Oh, mom, da, 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 telling me all about their day and kind of like, okay, I can't listen to you both at the same time. And then the next thing, it's like, where'd she go? Where is she? So always having to be on that constant alert of where my daughter is. And it's like I said, if I'm not on alert for, you know, half a minute, she could be out the door. And she got out, and it's like, okay, brother's bike's gone. She's riding down the street. And we ran out and went after her. And I drove my car around the block to get there quickly and got her at the end of the block and brought her home. Well, you know, I have neighbors who are just like, okay, so she says this horrible thing to me. I'm like, you have no idea. You know, the last thing I need is judgment and discouragement from you and telling me that I'm not worth being her parent. You know, it's like, you have no idea how emotionally taxed I already am, and how hard I work, and how much I love my daughter, and how hard I work all day long to keep her safe, you know. And if we have one lapse in the security, you know, anything can happen. So that's scary enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's 7. I mean, lots of 7-year-olds can ride around the block on their own, but just the fact that right. it's unpredictable. She can make it all around on your own. You just never know what she's going to do, though. Is she going to go around the block, or is she going to end up,
right.
you know, somewhere else? So, yeah.
Well, and I think too,
I'm not sure if I answered your question.
With people who just, no, you did. And I think too, for people that don't, there's, you know, I remember before I was ever a parent, you know, you look and you're like, oh, I'm never going to, my kid's never going to do X, Y, and Z, you know, and it's easy when you're not, I think you make a good point, when you're not in the trenches and you just think, oh, well, I would have done that specific thing differently. Like, it's kind of like someone who says, oh, I'll run this leg. Give me the baton. I'll run that leg perfectly fine. But they haven't been running the marathon for the last 7 years. And so they don't, the fatigue, the, you know, the being able to balance, you know, even just your attention on the other children, you know, and being able to make and show up for them
right.
with those relationships so that they also feel loved and valued and validated, and you know, that mm-hmm. devotion to them as much as they know, because they obviously see, you know, that right. that need for their sister, that that everybody has
exactly.
to kind of work together.
Yeah. It wears on everyone, you know, and a little bit, my 5-year-old, I feel like he acts out a little bit. Well, he acts out. And I don't know how much of it has to do with, let's see. Well, my 10-year-old the other day, he wanted to go for a hike and I was available and it was nice out, but I was dealing with, I don't remember what was going on, but I was dealing with his sister and, you know, they have to deal with this. Well, I can't go right now because I think she was having like a meltdown. So I think I started to talk about that, but I don't remember if I went any further with that. The fact that she's not only is she a runner and an escape artist, but she has these meltdowns is what I call them. It could be considered a tantrum, a meltdown, you know, whatever you want to call it. But she's 7 years old. And mm-hmm. so when I did have her at the doctor's office, she said, yeah, well, she said she's developmentally delayed. And she said, well, this is like she's throwing a tantrum like a 3-year-old. So basically it's kind of maybe that understanding, whatever connections are going on in her mind, having trouble communicating mm-hmm. her needs. But sometimes she just has these horrible, you know, meltdowns and, oh, well, that's exhausting. That's just really exhausting, and knowing how to deal with it and, mm-hmm. You have to learn not to get angry. You know, sometimes it can just be so frustrating. You just want to discipline them out of it, but that doesn't work. And mm-hmm. yeah, I just feel so bad. The other day she's just, you know, crying and whatever. I was like, I felt so bad for her because I felt like it's almost like she was trapped somehow and didn't know how to get herself out of it. But it can just, yeah, it's taxing, and it's taxing mm-hmm. on everybody, and others pay for it too. Like, oh, we can't do this. I don't have time for that. Because, you know, it might go on for 30, 40, 50 minutes. It can go on for a while where it's just constant me and her, you know, and I can't give attention to anybody else while I'm trying to hopefully calm her down.
Right. Well, how do you, you know, when we talk about the things mm-hmm. like our time, our health, the interactions, saying no and setting boundaries, how are you growing and how are you serving others? Like, that balance of those things needs to be in alignment so that we can do what we're called to do. How do you, you know, what have you found helpful in those times when you are just so exhausted and you need to be able to recharge? What types of things do you do to keep you from slipping into that, you know, really,
yeah,
really dark place?
That's a good question. And I know with like the shutdown of everything last March, so many people, I just felt like were fighting anxiety and depression and fear of what's going on. And so I've dealt with my own bit of anxiety and just learning to trust God and His word, turning to scripture, you know, to the truth, and just washing myself with that instead of succumbing to just negative thinking. And I think like we were both in mm-hmm. a challenge together, and back in March, May, when did it start? May, April. And my big thing back then, some months ago, was just mental, what do you call it? Like that positive thinking, the words. Yes, exactly.
Mindset,
that mindset.
Positive mindset.
So having mm-hmm. that right mindset, you know, like there's so many things we can do, thinking positively. So anyways, I turned to God's word and church and, praise. I like to, the music I like to listen to would be like worship music on the radio or things like that. So just really, like the Bible says, you know, putting your mind on things above, not on earthly things, focusing on having that eternal perspective, I think throughout my life has always turning back to that and just having mm-hmm. that, lately, I feel like I've just really been focusing on my own personal growth with God, trying to just every day draw closer to Him, always, you know, seeking to hear from Him in everything. So just a lot of personal growth for me spiritually. I did start, you talked about groups, I did start my group Bubbling Up, where I've been so, it's really helped me. I mean, I started it because I want to encourage other women in their faith. And I think a big thing for me, like I said, was helping draw women away from fear, away from anxiety, away from worry, so that we're not drowning in all that stuff like that's around us, but that we can really encourage one another and lift one another up and focus on who does God say I am, you know, that our identity is found in Him and not everything that's going on, or how good of a parent I am, or whatever it is, like how we might mess up, that our focus isn't on that, but who does God say I am, and just growing in that. And
especially during COVID, when, you know, people were like, well, we can't do this, we can't do this, but we can go outside, you know, we can, and it just made me think about, like, that's like the last thing that, you know, like for maybe part of your time, if COVID, when your kids were home, like that would be okay, that you could kind of rally together. But really, like, the thing that for many people would be a release, for you was like the absolute
having the little ones opposite at home.
Of that. Yeah. And just having the little ones at home once the kids went back to school. And so I challenge my listeners too, that, you know, if you have friends that even just have little ones, you know, like reach out, don't wait for, you know, your friend to say that they need you. Because I think a lot of times people feel like they don't want to put other people out. They don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable, but, you know, just having someone that said, hey, I'll go with you to the park so that you can have your daughter's hand, you know, and not that they'll stay home with your daughter because you don't want them to have to, you know, you don't want her to miss out, and you don't want them to feel to be put in a situation, but just so that you have that other set of eyes where you're still going to be on heightened mom mode. I mean, that's just the way you're wired, but you know, you have two of sirens going off instead of just, you know, one. Well, how is she doing now? And you know, you mentioned that she's getting the support that she needs. Do you see a difference with her?
I mean, she's back in school. She's having a good attitude about going to school. Like I said, she's an escape artist, and that includes when she's on the bus. So they tried locking her seatbelt, but she would slip out, like, okay, well, we're going to move to the car seat, as if that was going to concern me. Like, okay, you know, put her in a car seat, you know, with a harness. I'm like, well, that's what she rides in all the time for us anyways. So, okay, well, that didn't work, because even with the harness on, she managed to wiggle her way out of it. And so they're like, we're going to have to, basically put this harness on her. So, I've posted, I'm not sure if I posted a picture on my, personal page yet or not. I can't remember. Because like I said, I start getting leery of like every little thing I post, you know, somebody's like, oh, well, it's because you're a bad mom. But anyways, thankfully she's been cooperating. They sent the harness home with me, a brand new harness, like here. And she's like, well, she's going to need to have this on before she comes to the bus in the morning. It's like, oh, you know, thankfully she doesn't seem to mind it. She's put it on without any problem. And so it kind of looks like she's going to go skydiving or something. She has to step into this thing. And so then it hooks. So it has these things that hook up above. It's kind of like she's just wearing the seatbelt. So, yeah, I'm trying to remember what your question was now, but.
Well, you know, that might be, I mean, here's the thing. People who don't live that life are not going to see the value of you sharing that. But people who are struggling with a child just like yours, and although she is unique and made the way that God made her, there are other families who have similar stories of children. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend that I worked with who, you know, they had the bungee cord things because the child was an escape artist. So they had to bungee cord the door shut at night because they couldn't sleep. You know, And so those kinds of things, I mean, because my children, you know, don't live the same, you know, with the same challenges, although they have different challenges. I didn't even know that yeah. thing existed, a harness yeah, right? like that to keep a child in a seat. So, I mean, other people might be like, wow, that's exactly what I need because yeah. they have a child who's 2, you know, or 3, or, you know, they're not 7. So I appreciate you sharing this and being vulnerable and being authentic because, you know, Veronica, there is someone who's listening today that needs to hear that another mom yeah. understands the walk and the path and the bumps and, you know,
yeah.
that you have gone down. And I just am so thankful for your willingness to share. And
well, I'm definitely still so learning. I had a friend share a webpage with me and I need to get back on it, but it had all these different things. Cause it's like, well, how do I keep my child in her car seat? You know, I could be driving down the road and she's going to unbuckle herself. What am I supposed to do? And I think this page had something, some kind of law. Mm-hmm. It's something that goes over it maybe so they can't unbuckle it. And there's different tools out there that nobody was making aware to me. She's in special ed, you know, and she's seen the doctor and this and that. It's like, why is there not general information that the doctors hand out? Why is there not general information that the teachers, maybe not the teachers, but her special ed team, or it's like, why are these things not being shared to me to help make my life easier? And, you know, part of the struggles I share, it's like, I want answers. I want help. Like, do you have an idea how to keep this door shut? Cause I'm like trying to get creative. Like you're mentioning with the bungee cords, like, I walk around my house. I look at my doors. I'm like, how can I, okay, which door can I put a hook on this door? Can I, you know, and I'm like, how can I just make this house more secure? And also so that I can just rest a little and have peace of mind. Like, mm-hmm. I want to sit down and just fold my laundry in peace with, you know,
right.
Like sit down for 5 minutes without having to chase her down. And so, yeah, it would be nice if there was more information readily available and given to parents and not wait till they're so far along in the journey. You know, she's 7. I've had other older children that when they were younger were also escape artists and would get out the door. So she's not my first exactly. She's my first. The hardest part with her also has just been the meltdowns, just the, you know, behavior. So that's one of, yeah, that sets her aside from the other kids. I've had other escape artists that would want to leave the house. So yeah, so it'd be nice to know, like, what are the tips and tricks, you know, that people use and where's the support? I think I didn't even know to look for support. Like I said, I just finally joined a Facebook group, you know, but, and I might be starting one here myself. We will see, but knowing where to find that, you know, knowing where to find that support. And,
well, and you know, it has to be, you know, I feel like you're absolutely right in terms of, you know, where is it? I mean, if she mm-hmm. had been born with a physical disability right. where, like, for instance, she was in a wheelchair, like the physician right. would have resources, like, here's, mm-hmm. here's where you need to get this. This is where you can get your car, you know, you'll need to have a ramp right. so that, you know, all those different types of things would have been, mm-hmm. you know, communicated to you. But I think that you're on the right track, like just being able to provide those things for families so that they're not
yeah.
searching when they're already tired, when they're already worn out, when they're already at a place where, you know, and for many people that don't, you know, have something yeah. that is keeping them from over the edge, you know, this is, it's a very dangerous place to be for both the caregiver and the one being cared for right. if you don't have that support. So I would love for you to share, you can send me that and I'll link it in the show yeah. notes, that website, or Facebook page or whatever it is for families so that they can have, you know, resources for needs that they have. Well, as we wrap up today, Veronica, what is it? What are some words of encouragement that you would like to leave for our listeners, people that perhaps are in the shoes that you're in, walking a similar walk, or for people who really don't mm-hmm. know the road that you've been on, but, you know, maybe mm-hmm. are going to meet people that are on that similar road or have loved ones? What
you know, for one, I think one of the biggest things that we all struggle with is our pride. one, if you're on the outside looking in, don't judge, you know, don't think that you're better than somebody. If our pastor's been talking about it lately, is like, you should look at others as better than yourselves. You know, that's what the Bible talks about. And so we're, instead of pointing a finger and like, oh, I wouldn't do that, pray for that person instead. Have compassion for others. Two, I was going to say, as pride, getting rid of that pride of being afraid to ask for help. For one, like you said, it's like, I'm pretty much an open book. That's just the way God made me somehow. I appreciate truth and authenticity, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. So not everybody's comfortable with that. And sometimes when you do share the truth, it will offend some people, put people off, because there's always judgment, right? But we're not going to help people by pretending that everything's okay. I don't know. So I guess, yeah, you need
those
to reach
are great.
Out. Reach
I think
out.
Those are
and,
both great.
I've had a friend visit from church. You know, I posted something like, hey, if someone wants to bring me a coffee, you know, and I have had a friend from church, and she came over and she brought me a coffee, and she just visited with me a couple times. She's come over and visited, and she's an older gal in the church, you know, but she just came to support me and be with me. So I wasn't alone all day. She just came and spent time with me. And another friend from church also has come over and visited and could see what I was walking through and understand. And so we really need one another. We need that community, and we need to reach out. And like you were saying, how can we help others? And so instead of judging, you know, it's like, let's get rid of our pride. We're not all that. So,
absolutely. And I love that. I know that especially during COVID time, like those big groups of people getting together and, you know, but when people are gathered together, that energy it can be such a lifeline that that someone else sees you. They can't fix it. They're not going to be there that night when you go to bed. They're not going to be there that next morning, but just the fact that they gave of their time and their energy, like you get to borrow that energy, and that can help you get through, you know, that next hurdle and to know that someone else is thinking about you. So I thank you so much for sharing with my listeners, Veronica. And I'm just so glad that we've met, and I'm, you know, honored that you have shared your heart with us, and I can't wait to have you back another time. And maybe you could share a little bit
more
about
how you're
moving
forward. Well, you are so welcome, and thank you
forward.
For letting me be here, and I enjoy talking to you always. And I hope this was a blessing to somebody out there that it really helps out.
I'm so glad that you were able to be here with us today and listen to the story of Veronica's heart and what her day-to-day life is like in the shoes of a parent with a child of special needs. But you know, what her message that she shared today, what resonated with me is that it doesn't matter if you have a child with special needs or you have a child who just has needs. As parents, we are devoted to our children day in and day out. And sometimes it can feel like we are just invisible, that nobody really sees us. And the highlight reel that people post, that's not real life. That's not everyday life. And people get tired. They need someone to show up with a cup of coffee and say, I see you, I hear you, and here, let me just give you a little bit of my energy. So I just challenge you to keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open, keep your hearts open, where you can see people in your life that cross your path who need you to see them. If you feel that All the Things is giving you value, then I please ask for you to be a monthly subscriber and a monthly giver. We have subscription on All the Things, which is a Patreon account. And you can also subscribe on any podcast platform that you use daily for podcast needs. Thank you so much for being here. Please share this podcast with others who you feel could use the encouragement that Veronica shared with us today. I'm so glad that you were here, and just remember, your message matters.